This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving on to, as we said, a subject that's been floating around that gets brought up from time to time. So the most recent bringing up happened with, I believe today, an activist talking to Sarawak and Sabah, an activist by the name of Zainal Ajamain, who basically said, look, Sarawak, you know, this idea of autonomy over health and education, it may not happen. And that is back to that point about decentralization. Most recently, however, we also heard from Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng,
who said that he supports the idea of decentralizing the government, but there are just not enough funds to do so at the moment. And he's added that it's more crucial to first improve the country's economy.
So the concept of decentralization is where authority and, you know, functions are dispersed to states instead of being focused only in the federal government. Those who are in argument for decentralization say that it empowers local communities to be able to decide on policy issues that affect them. And when it comes to power, I think we're also talking about something like funding, right? Where you therefore have, you really just have the ability and the autonomy to decide where your attention goes.
And also where and what solution best works for the community you're serving in. And that is coming across in several areas. So let's look at public transport as one example. The reason why it's a bit messy and sometimes it seems like there aren't enough buses that go into specific routes is because it's planned from a way that is top down. So the more niche routes, the more unique routes that serves a lot of people that doesn't, that while it doesn't, it's not like a popular route to go to, it is still important to have. And that's where decentralizing powers is one aspect where it could fix issues of the last mile connectivity.
So one proponent of decentralization is actually the Yang di-Pertuan Besar of Negeri Sembilan, Tuanku Muhriz, Tuanku Munawir, who said that decentralization is in line with the spirit of federalism and the constitution. So we don't know really when or if ever, but we thought it would be a good opportunity to actually look at the word decentralization.
Yes.
And to understand a little bit better what it would entail and what it would entail on a local government level. So we're going to be speaking after this with Rajivishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, over the line to just get a better picture of it. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking today about decentralization, a suggestion that comes up now and again. And the idea here being that it would empower local committees, local state governments, I think, with a little bit more autonomy or a lot more autonomy. And we're trying to get a more on the ground perspective now. So we're crossing over to Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. Rajiv, thanks for joining us. How have you yourself, you know, in your position as State Assemblyman, felt the impact of the imbalance of power between state and federal government?
Well, I think what we have today is that nearly every area of government is controlled by Putrajaya, and not at the state or local level. Let's look at some of the things like public transport. Licenses are still controlled by the federal government, although local governments could probably understand local needs better and govern and license public transport better at the local level. Schools is another. We've had lots of debate on teaching maths and science in English or Bahasa, whereas if our schools were run locally, as they are in many parts of the world, then this decision can be made locally rather than be a national formula, considering that the country is quite diverse. So I think these are some of the examples on how we can govern things locally. It doesn't affect the economics of scale. It doesn't affect national interests, but in fact, it can suit local demands or local needs better if we decentralize.
And what would the federal government's devolution of powers look like? How would that transfer of power happen?
Well, it has to start with a conversation. It has to start with a lot of debate, discussion as to what aspects we want to decentralize. Then we have to talk about building capacity at the state or local government levels in order for them to take over management of these services or governing these aspects of life. So this is something that will take time, and it definitely has to be a lot of discussion and debate and as well as a roadmap for this transition. It's not something that we can expect to see overnight. We shouldn't rush it, because then we might see a lot of services fall through the gaps if you rush this. We've got to realize that for decades, we've been living in a very centralized system. Although we are a federation of federal government and state governments, but a lot of the services have been centralized for decades. So it's going to take time, but it should start. This discussion should start, and we should start planning towards this direction.
How would something like local council elections help to address power imbalances, and what sort of immediate effect might we see from local council elections?
I think local council elections would help hold the local governments more accountable to their people. So that's absolutely important, with or without decentralization. So in a way, it can be seen as a separate topic, but there is some linkages in the sense that the more we decentralize things to the local government, it gets even more important that we have elections at the local level. So if schools are going to be run by the local authorities, the police department, hospitals, government clinics, are going to be run by the local authority, then it gets even more important that the mayors and the councillors are elected. So I absolutely support local government election. I understand that the minister has committed a three-year timeline. I'm hoping it could be sooner than that, but it's definitely an important step. I think another very important step that we need to start discussing, if you are talking about decentralization, is the question of money, because the huge chunk of taxation in this country goes to the federal government, income tax, corporate tax, excise duties, nearly all form of taxations with the exception of property taxes go to the federal government. So that's more than 90% of all taxation. And this is a formula that needs to be changed in order for local governments and state governments to sustain the additional responsibility if we start to decentralize.
Did Budget 2019 allocations reflect any intention to grant local bodies more autonomy?
I think we haven't come to that quite yet. But I think before we start giving the money to the local authorities, we need to start talking about what services are appropriate to decentralize as a country. And I think we shouldn't put the cart before the horse. So I think in the coming year, it would be great if Parliament would be discussing and looking at ways of how we can decentralize things. To be responsible, we probably should not decentralize everything at one go, but to develop a roadmap towards decentralization. And then comes the conversation of how much money that we should decentralize to the local level in line with the amount of services that we decentralize. It's got to go hand in hand.
Would there be different challenges in transferring power within different states?
Yes, because it's about... One is the financial model, because when we start decentralizing the financial model and decentralizing the services, there may be some mismatch. For example, if you were to return, say, half the income tax back to the state governments, some states will get a disproportionately more than other states, and some states may have an easier time running, say, schools and hospitals, and some states will have a harder time doing so. So that's why a lot of analysis is needed. On how the states could be disproportionately affected by this.
Have you seen the new government making visible efforts to move towards decentralization so far, or are we a long way off?
I think we are somewhat still a long way off. It hasn't been the priority of discussion so far, but I think it's something timely. I'm glad that the ruler raised this issue, and I hope this sparks some conversation, especially among the leadership at Putrajaya, among members of parliament, among civil society, as to how we can have more efficient, better government by decentralization. I don't think we want to decentralize for the sake of decentralizing, while a lot of attention now is on fixing government institutions and fixing the national debt. I think those are still very important things that we need to do. But it would be also good to see how we can further improve services by decentralizing and having local authorities or state governments making decisions that better suit the communities that they govern, rather than one-size-fits-all decisions that happen in Putrajaya.
Rajiv, thanks for speaking with us. That was Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran weighing in on the subject of decentralisation. So we've asked you for your thoughts, and Fu says, when you decentralise, it is more difficult to have check and balance.
I think it's just a bit more difficult in the sense where you just have a lot more parties you have to keep an eye on, as opposed to where now, because local councils, they are appointed rather than elected in. It's not that you don't have to keep an eye on them, you just don't really have to worry about them so much.
Yes, but the other thing here is also that the power differential is going to be much smaller compared to, you know, trying to keep, I don't know, the prime minister, for example. It's just a lot of layers of government in between. But if you are going to decentralize, and if you do have local council elections, for example, then the electorate has a lot more power, and also a lot more interest in participating in the check and balance compared to now, where it's like, ah, well.
Yeah, it's because you voted them in, and you voted them in based on the issues they were championing. So in the same way we keep Pakatan, we make sure that Pakatan follows their manifesto, the same could apply to local councils as well.
That same sort of investment, that same emotional investment, yeah. Karen says, if you want to decentralise power, then you need local council elections, which is absolutely a point that Rajiv brought up. And going back to the issue of unity, we have a message here from Devon.
My opinion on how to improve racial unity, this has to start from within our very own self and not always think that the only other side of race needs to do something to improve.
That only the other races need to do something to improve,
Thank you.
Yeah.
We need to start teaching our own kids to respect other races, speak well of them, and not incite hatred towards another race, or else the next generation will always grow up to hate each other.
And lastly, a message that came through here from Razo saying, funny how we keep talking about national unity, but we ignore the core issue, which is segregation of kids by racial profiling through vernacular schools. Somehow this issue is taboo, bringing it up is racist. We won't be united when a Chinese kid grows up only knowing Chinese friends up until the end of their college or university days. One school for all is the only way to go. Okay, I'm not sure that we have, or that everyone ignores the issue of segregation in schools, or for that matter, that it is the core problem. I think it is one of many significant issues that needs to be addressed. But I just wanted to say that this is something that we're planning to do a deeper dive in. I mean, we did a 101 series recently on single-use plastics, where we took a full week to really try and get into the different facets of it. And because vernacular schools is a similar sort of subject where there are a lot of stakeholders, we're planning to do the same.
Yes, and well, stay tuned for that. We'll let you know when we do it.
CY says, at the rate of polarization that Malaysians are going through, unity seems to only be a dream we continue to hope for in the future. I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but I still believe that unity among Malaysians needs to be addressed at a very young age, for example, i.e. our education system. A case in point, during my years in primary school, my class had a good mix of different races. As the years have gone by, this has changed drastically. Is a single stream school the solution? Well, we'll try and get the answer to that. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, also because after the 7:30 news, we're going to be talking about The Hustle, as well as remakes that we've liked or disliked. Yeah, keep it here for that. In the meantime, we have Ben E. King with Stand By Me, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.